You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, January 27, 2026. The boys are back in town. Midland to Echo 2's return to ease Permian crude tightness to Houston. Published by Lisa Scheidler and Taylor Noland. The long-anticipated return of Enterprise Products Partners' Midland to Echo 2 pipeline, or M2E2, to crude oil service is underway, bringing 220,000 barrels per day of capacity back online for the first time since the end of 2023. The move coincides with Enterprise's new NGL line, the Bahia Pipeline, which entered service in December. With these changes, Enterprise has become the second-largest owner of outbound Permian crude oil capacity. In today's RBN blog, we'll look at how the line's return to crude service impacts flows to the Gulf Coast, particularly as the region's largest crude pipeline, Wink to Webster, has an upcoming 10-day maintenance in March. A key element of Enterprise's Permian strategy has been its ability to switch the products some pipelines carry as circumstances and economics change. For the past couple of years, Enterprise has had two major pipelines moving crude from the Permian to Houston, Midland to Echo 1, or M2E1, and Midland to Echo 3, or M2E3, which represents the company's 29% undivided interest in the Wink to Webster pipeline, or W2W. Together, these give Enterprise 1.07 million barrels per day of crude takeaway capacity to Houston. A third pipeline, M2E2, has been moving NGL since December 2023 under the name Seminole but is being returned to crude oil service this month. M2E1 and M2E2 mostly twin each other, meaning they follow the same path, originating at Midland and flowing to Sealy. Then at Sealy, they utilize Enterprise's Rancho 2 pipeline to its Echo crude storage terminal, which is widely connected to Houston refiners and the export market. While the ExxonMobil-operated W2W follows the same path for a portion of the line, it flows from Midland directly to Echo, bypassing Sealy and the Rancho 2 line. While W2W starts in Wink, Texas, Enterprise's ownership portion begins at Midland, as does a large majority of W2W receipts. As we covered in Center of the Universe, part of our Permian Crude Oil Hub series, Midland is where Permian oil pricing is established. On the NGL side of things, Enterprise has at times operated three pipelines from the Permian to its fractionation complex in Mont Belvieu, Texas, Chinook and Chaparral, plus Seminole when it's not moving crude oil under the M2E2 name. As conditions in the Permian have changed, Enterprise has adjusted its approach. The company made its first pivotal decision in 2019. In response to tight outbound crude pipeline capacity, it would convert the Seminole pipeline from NGL to crude service. Renamed M2E2, the pipeline began shipping crude later that year. The move coincided with a wave of large greenfield crude pipelines, including Cactus 2, Cactus 3, formerly Epic Crude, and Gray Oak, that entered into service, delivering crude to Corpus Christi. Check out our latest drill down report. Shortly thereafter, W2W came online, dramatically increasing flows to Houston, while the BridgeTex pipeline and M2E1 expansions further eased crude constraints and increased competition for barrels. The industry was expecting significant Permian oil growth, but when COVID hit in 2020, rigs dropped and production slowed. In the fall of 2023, Enterprise found it opportunistic to convert M2E2 back to NGL service under the Seminole name. This added roughly 150,000 barrels per day of NGL takeaway while removing about 220,000 barrels per day of crude capacity. The move was intended as a temporary solution to bridge an NGL pipeline capacity shortfall until Bahia, a 550-mile Y-grade pipeline running from the Permian Basin to its fractionation complex at Mont Belvieu, could enter service. At the same time, Enterprise was expanding its gas processing capacity in the Permian, including additional trains at its existing Mentone facility in Orion, Leonidas and Athena plants. As these facilities ramped up, they drove incremental NGL production, furthering the need for NGL takeaway capacity. Enterprise completed Phase 1 of its Texas Western Products, or TWP system in March 2024 by reversing the Chaparral pipeline and converting it to refined product service, removing approximately 135,000 barrels per day of NGL capacity from the system. With Chinook full, Chaparral reversed and new processing plants ramping up, Enterprise would not restore M2E2 to crude service until Bahia came online. That brings us to today. In December, Enterprise began commercial service on Bahia. The project entered service with an initial capacity of 600,000 barrels per day, welcome news after its expected in-service date had slipped from the first half of 2025. ExxonMobil agreed in November to acquire a 40% undivided joint interest in the pipeline, a deal that closed at the end of 2025. Enterprise will continue to operate it. With Bahia online, the stage was set to make the switch from Seminol and NGL service back to M2E2 and crude service. As discussed in our crude oil Permian report, Enterprise's Permian to Houston capacity has been at full utilization since M2E2 was moved into NGL service just over 2 years ago. Since then, utilization of M2E1 and M2E3 has averaged 94% of its combined 1.07 million barrels per day capacity, reaching 98% utilization in September, the most recent monthly data available. M2E1 was at just over 96% of its 620,000 barrels per day capacity, and M2E3 was at 100% of its 450,000 barrels per day capacity in September, as it has been since late 2021. Bringing back M2E2 to crude service will impact flows from the Permian and make Enterprise number 2 in crude takeaway capacity out of the basin at 16.4%, surpassing Energy Transfer's 15.9%, but still leaving it well behind Plains All American, which has a leadership position at 31.6%, especially after recently acquiring the EPI crude line to Corpus Christi and renaming it Cactus 3, see full speed ahead. Enterprise's Permian strategy has historically been Houston-centric, with the exception of its 13% interest in the Basin pipeline flowing to Cushing, Oklahoma, funneling barrels toward its ECHO terminal for use in refining or export. By contrast, Energy Transfer and Plains have pursued a broader outbound footprint. Energy Transfer has ownership in a number of pipelines, including the Permian Express System, West Texas Gulf, and its minority stake in W2W, providing links to Houston, Nederland, East Texas, and Louisiana, while the large majority of Plains' operated capacity heads to Corpus with its Cactus 1 and 2 pipeline and newly acquired EPIC line, now renamed Cactus 3. It also operates Basin/Sunrise 2 flowing to Cushing, and has a non-operated interest in W2W and BridgeTex, adding Houston as a destination. With M2E2 shifting back to crude service, we expect a small change in Permian crude flows. After the massive buildouts in 2019 and 2020, and the downshift in Permian production following COVID, total Permian oil takeaway capacity was overbuilt. Crude egress out of the Permian has steadily tightened over the past several years, particularly as crude pipeline capacity was redirected. However, takeaway capacity hasn't narrowed like it did at the end of 2018. In fact, prior to M2E2 switching back to crude service, excess outbound capacity stands at roughly 1.8 million barrels per day. Gray Oak's 80,000 barrels per day Phase I expansion in April 2025, combined with M2E2's switch, is ensuring ample capacity, specifically to the two most highly desired destinations, Corpus Christi and Houston, which are both above 90% utilization, including flows to Cushing and Nederland, both of which are at lower utilization. The basin has ample takeaway capacity to serve Permian crude oil producers in the next year. But, as we said in It Won't Be Like This for Long, it's not just the ability to get out that matters, it's the ability to get to the most lucrative downstream markets. That means the winners won't be the ones adding more capacity, but the firm's best positioned to move barrels to the right markets, especially along the Gulf Coast. The M2E2 switch is just in time for W2W's upcoming 10-day maintenance period. Work will start on March 2nd and the line is expected to operate at reduced rates, with a brief full shutdown at the start and end of the maintenance period. When W2W went down for 10 days in June 2024, roughly 1.5 million barrels per day of Permian to Houston takeaway capacity was effectively taken out of service. During the June 2024 trade cycle, April 26 to May 25, Midland WTI weakened by a little more than 50 cents per barrel relative to the prior May trade cycle. With more crude now able to flow to Houston, we expect the price impact to be more muted this time around. In short, the added capacity provides alternative pathways for barrels into Houston, which should significantly dampen takeaway concerns and reduce pricing pressure during the upcoming maintenance period. Ultimately, M2E2's return to crude service underscores Enterprise's long-standing advantage, flexibility. By shifting pipes between NGLs, refined products, and crude as market conditions dictate, the company has been able to optimize utilization across its Permian and Gulf Coast systems. With Bahia now absorbing incremental NGL volumes and M2E2 reopening a critical crude outlet to Houston, Enterprise is well positioned heading into the W2W maintenance window and beyond. In an environment of ample takeaway capacity, the battle isn't about building more pipe, it's about controlling the best paths to the most valuable markets. The Boys Are Back in Town was written by Phil Lynott and appears as the first song on side 2 of Thin Lizzy's 6th studio album, Jailbreak. The song is a celebratory tale of rock and roll warriors arriving back in their hometown after being away. Irish characters abound in the scenario at Dino's Bar and Grill. Your director of musicology can clearly remember driving his Econoline van back from a gig with Paradise, with Rusty Brazil on bass, and hearing this come on the radio for the first time. I was knocked out by the originality of the record and went out and bought Jailbreak the next day at Peaches Records in Tulsa. Released as a single in April 1976, it went to number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. Personnel on the record were Phil Lynott, vocals, bass, Brian Robertson, guitar, Scott Gorham, guitar, and Brian Downey, drums, percussion. Jailbreak was recorded between December 1975 and February 1976 at Ramport Studio in London and produced by John Alcock. It is the first Thin Lizzy album where the twin lapel guitar attack of Robertson and Gorham comes into full effect. The progenitors of this twin guitar sound were with Todd Potter and Rod Prince of the Austin, Texas, band Bubble Puppy, A Gathering of Promises, in 1969. The Jailhouse album was released in March 1976 and went to number 18 on the Billboard 200 albums chart. It has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. Three singles were released from the LP. Thin Lizzy is an Irish rock band formed in Dublin in 1969 by vocalist/bassist Phil Lynott, drummer Brian Downey, guitarist Eric Bell and keyboardist Eric Rickson. 39 members have passed through the band since its formation. The classic lineup of Lynott, Downey, Robertson and Gorham is what comes to mind when most aficionados think of Thin Lizzy. This lineup, 1974-78, released 5 studio albums and 1 live album. Thin Lizzy has released 12 studio albums, 12 live albums, 35 compilation albums, 7 EPs and 33 singles. The band broke up for the first time in 1983. Founder Phil Lynott died in Salisbury, Wiltshire, in January 1986 at 36. The band was reactivated in 1996 by guitarist John Sykes, guitarist Scott Gorham, drummer Brian Downey, keyboardist Darren Wharton and bassist Marco Mendoza. Many members have played in the lineup since, with an offshoot band, Black Star Riders, formed in 2012. Bands as varied as Metallica, Alice in Chains, Guns N' Roses, Testament and The Rocksteady have named Thin Lizzy as influences. A current iteration with Scott Gorham still occasionally performs in concert.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.